is Daf Lamed. Let's take it from the top, around eight lines down the two dots. Does that work for everybody? I figure that's a good stopping point where people got to. So Gemara says, Ad heichan chayv adam lelamed es bino Torah. Up until what point is a person obligated to teach his son Torah? So Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda mashmul kigon zvulun ben dan, shalimdu avi aviv mikro mishnah v'talmud halachos agados. It went so far. We could go to the other room. Okay. Up until the point where his grandfather, Rashi says, Zvulun ben Dan was a Talmud Shayab Yemehim, and he was taught by his grandfather everything, Mikra and Mishnah and Talmud, Halachos, Agados. So the Gemara says, Mesivei Lamdu Mikra, Im Lamdu Mishnah. So what's that saying there? It says Rashi, Im Lamdu Mishnah, Ein Chawas Beno Alav Ela B'Mikra, Mikan Veilach Yilmad Hulatzma. The Chiv to teach is Lamdu Mikra, only to teach the child Psukim, but there's no chiyuv to teach them Mishnah. Zvamer Rava Mikra Zu Torah Kizvulim Ben Dan Vlo Kizvulim Ben Dan. So what's going on here? So we see the Gemara wants to know up until what was the question Ad Heichan Chayv Adam Lamed Es Bino Torah. Was the question up until what age, or was the question how much in what areas of Torah? So the question really was what areas of Torah? What's included? Is it Mikra? Is it Mishnah? So we see that Zvulim Ben Dan was taught not only Mikra, he was taught Mishnah and he was taught Talmud. So we see you're supposed to teach all areas of the Torah. But then this Brisa tells us that we only have to teach the Chiv is only Lim the Mikra, but there is no Chiv of Mishnah here. So how can we use Zvulun Ben Dan as the model? So it says, Amar Rava, Rava says, Mikra Zu Dfu Torah, and Kizvulun Ben Dan Velo Kizvulun Ben Dan. Somewhat like him, but not entirely like him. Meaning what? Kizvulun Ben Dan Shalamdu Avi Aviv, that his grandfather taught him. That's how far even a grandfather teaches the grandson. Velo is Kizvulun Ben Dan, but not entirely like him. Why? Dilu Hassan, when it came to him, Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Halachas, Vagadas, he was taught everything. That wasn't necessary, but that was certainly a nice thing. Viluhacha, Mikra, Levad. But when it comes to our point, in general, the only obligation a father has to the son is teaching them Psukim, teaching them Mikra. Says the Gemara, now, Avi Aviv Mimechayev, is the grandfather really chayev to teach a grandson Torah? Vahatani doesn't abide to teach us. Quotes from the Pasuk. Right, wrong pasuk. Where's this pasuk on the side here? Let's get this right. Yeah, the daber bum. The rest of the pasuk says to teach your sons to speak, to speak Torah. So the pasuk says b'neichem v'lo b'neichem. Only the sons, but there's no chiv to teach grandsons. So why does the gemara bring a pasuk a raya here from the grandfather of Zvulun Ben Dan was teaching him? So what do I do with the other pasuk that tells us you're supposed to let your sons and your grandsons know about Kabbalah Satorah? So Lomar Lachasha Kol Hamilamid is Beno Torah Mala Lava Hakasiv Kiilu Lamdu Lo Ulivno Uluven Beno Atzov Kol Doros. So we see the only idea, even though the pasuk says Vodatim Levanecha Uluvene Vanecha, there's an idea to teach your grandson to let them know. That's not really that there's an obligation. It's when you teach your son, it's as if you're teaching grandsons, because by you teaching him, he's going to teach his son, and he's going to teach his son, and you're going to pass on generations, but there's no chiv on the grandfather. So is there a chiv or is not a chiv? Seems to be a big steer in the brises here. So the Gemara explains, Hu damar ki ay tana. He holds like the following tana, that says, V'ilma'atem osam is b'neichem, there's a chiv to teach your sons, ein li ela b'neichem. I only learn from the pasuk to teach your sons. How do I know that there's an obligation to teach your grandsons? So we see there's a machlokas tanaim. Some say there's only obligation to teach your sons. Others say there's a chiv to teach the grandsons. If it's really true that there's an obligation to teach the grandsons, so why does the pasuk earlier limit it only to b'neichem and not to the grandsons? So the Gemara says you made the wrong diak. The diak should be b'neichem as opposed to v'lo b'no seichem. There's no obligation to teach daughters or granddaughters, but there is an obligation to teach sons and grandsons. So that's big machlokas. There's a big discussion. You know, the Gemara says in a few places, we already saw this earlier in the first and early in the parak here, the concept of b'nei banim harehim kimbanim. How far do we take that? That grandchildren are like sons themselves. So this is one of the rayas they bring, that there's a chiv of a grandfather to teach, according to one mandam at least, to teach the grandson. Other rayas they bring, there's a Rashi al Torah about the chiv of a grandson being mechabed his grandfather. It's brought down in the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch. So there's a few indications, but this is one of the gemaras they bring, that there's such a concept of a obligation of a grandfather to the grandson. So then the Gemara says,
When the Gemara says Kizvulun Badan Lo Kizvulun Badan, and then it says only regarding Mikra, does that mean that the father's chiyuv is only Mikra, or is it saying the grandfather's chiyuv is only Mikra, but the father's chiyuv is on everything?
So now that we're going back to reinterpret that, that it was his grandfather. So I thought the idea was only the father. The Pasuk was saying no. The Gemara was saying, the Brisa says, Mlamdo Mikra. What does Rashi say there? Yeah, if you look at Rashi, you see Rashi ain't a Mlamdo Mishnah. Rashi's ain't chovas beno alav el b'mikra. The obligation of teaching the son is only with respect to Mikra. Mikan ve'elach yilamed et hulatma. Everything else he has to learn on his own. So even though Zvulun Ben Dan was a situation, an example of a grandfather, is really teaching us something about the father's obligation.
So there'd be no chiluk in the amount a father has to teach versus the amount the grandfather has to teach. The shaila whether the grandfather is chayiv at all, but once you say he is, it does. There wouldn't be a distinction between how much each one has to teach.
Right.
Right.
And this would only be a chiv. L'chora, there would still be a key mitzvah in teaching son and grandson beyond mikra as well. This seems to be talking about only the chiv alone. Okay, the Gemara now says, halfway down the Amud, Amr Yishub ben Levi, Kol ha-melamed it's ben b'no, Torah, ma'ala alav ha-kasuv, ki'ilu ha-kabla m'har Sinai. Person teaches his grandson, it's as if he accepted the Torah himself from Har Sinai, Shenemar, as the Pasuk says we saw earlier, V'odatim l'vanecha v'livnei v'anecha. You're supposed to let your children and grandchildren know about Kabbalah Satorah. The Samech La, right next to it says, Yom Hashem Atah L'fnei Hashem Lokecha B'Chorif. So when you're telling your children, letting them know about Torah, right next to it, juxtaposed to that Pasuk, it discusses the that Moshe Rabbeinu is standing in front of Hashem on Har Sinai. So we see when you teach your grandson, it's as if you're accepting it, may Har Sinai itself. So Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba, Ashkecha, Rabbi Shubin Levi, Dishada Disna Aresha, the Kamimate Lei Leyunuka, the Bekanisha. What was he doing? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, the Dashades Disna Aresha. Sadin, there's this handkerchief of some sort, a cloth. Shinin Roy Leatifas Harosh. It seemed to be too small, wasn't fitting on the head. Elkise Bam was just a cover. Some Al Rosha placed on his head. Shalo Leilich Begile Rosha. So he shouldn't walk with his head uncovered. Lo Hispik Lehisate Besudro. And it wasn't enough, the piece of cloth wasn't enough in order to wrap around, but it was on top of his head a little bit. So what happened here again? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shubin Levi, the Shadis Disna Aresha, he placed a piece of cloth on his head. The Kamamte Le Liyunuka Lebek Nishta. It seems he brought the child into the base medrash, into the shul. So Amalei, so my Kulihai, so they asked Rabbi Shubin Levi, what exactly was he trying to accomplish here? So he says, Amalei, Mizuter Ma'ai Dechsiv, is it so small that which is written, Godatim Levanecha, so was it so small, that thing that's mentioned, that we juxtapose the idea of teaching a grandchild Torah and connecting that to Kabbalah Satorah? So therefore, so what was he trying to accomplish? He was trying to teach his grandchild. Was this his grandchild? Mm-hmm. He's trying to teach his grandchild the Torah. He's bringing him to the shul. Even though he was so little, that's what he wanted to accomplish. He wanted to be Mekayim this din of teaching a grandchild.
Roger says he was running, that he didn't even have a proper covering. I think that's the point about the covering, because he didn't have a proper covering.
He was too young to learn. He didn't even know that basic halacha, you're saying?
No, I'm saying that Rabbi Shimon Levi didn't have a proper covering, but was in such a rush to get his son, his grandson, to the base
medrash. He himself didn't have the proper covering. So even though he wasn't dressed properly, he's busy, playing basketball, and he saw his grandson. He wanted to take the opportunity to go learn with his grandson. So even though he wasn't dressed what he should have been dressed, he wanted to go into the shul and base medrash just to kind of din of teaching his grandson. The Gemara now says, Mikan ve'ilach. So from at that point on, Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba, lo taim umtza, ad demakri liyunuka umostre. So he wouldn't taste anything at all. Rashi explains, lo taim umtza, basar ma'at begechalim hayu regilim l'tom beboker. Used to have meat in the morning. It's not so practiced nowadays. Some people don't even have meat for lunch. But he would just have a little piece of meat in the morning, and he would now, after hearing this din of Rabbi Shumba Levi, this important Indian of teaching a grandson, he wouldn't have that piece of meat until he taught his son a little bit and added more. If you look at Rashi, the next one says, Adem Mikre Liyanuka Mosfe Mahadele Mashakar Esmol. He would first chazer with his grandson what he learned yesterday, the previous day, Ve'umlamdo Od Pasuk Yoser, then would teach him another Pasuk, and only then would he be willing to, sorry, only then would he be willing to teach him, would he be eating that piece of meat for breakfast. Gemara now says, Rabba bar Rav Huna lo taim umtza ad demaisi liyunuka beis medrash. He also wouldn't taste anything until he brought his grandson to the beis medrash. So is wondering out loud now, what's the difference here? First case, Rabbi Chiya, until he taught his son, and Chazard, and now Chazard, and then taught an extra pasuk. But here, he's talking about until he brought him into the Beis Medrash. And then he would eat, and before actually teaching him. So I'm not sure what he's trying to accomplish here. And it's possible, I'm just suggesting, has brought down the poskim. What happens, let's say a person just doesn't have the ability to learn. He just doesn't have the kochos to learn, doesn't have the skills. What's he supposed to do? He can't work all day. He wants to. So they advise, at least go to the Beis Medrash. At least sit in the Beis. If you can't learn, at least just sit in the Beis Medrash. What?
Stand up for Tamil
Chacham. You could write stand up for Tamil Chacham, but just like spend time. I remember when I spoke in the Tivari a few years ago. So they're asking me about how to, you know, struggle with working and learning. And so one guy asked me, what if I can't? I'm obviously, I just can't learn the Beis Medrash. I have no mind. I don't have the skills to do it. I said, so whatever you're going to be doing, at least do in the Beis Medrash, as long as it's appropriate for the Beis Medrash. Just being in the Beis Medrash is just a good atmosphere than wherever else a person might be able to be. So maybe the idea here is that maybe this grandson was too little to learn, didn't have the skill, but just being in the Beis Medrash sometimes, as long as it's not disruptive, maybe that was the value of that as well. Just wondering if anyone is omid on this. I don't see anything. Just looking at the phone here. Okay. Fine. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Safra Mishum Rav Shub Ben Chananya. What does the pasuk mean when it says Vishinantam Levanecha? Atikri Vishinantam Elav Shilashtim. Don't read it as Shinantam, which means to learn, to sharpen. Rather, it should mean Shilashtim, to divide up in three. Meaning what? Liolam Yishalish Adam Shnosav. Person should always divide his years up. Shlish B'mikra, the first third of his life, the first 40 years, let's say, is Mikra. Shlish B'mishnah, the next 40 years, is learning Mishnah. The Shlish B'talmud, in the next 40 years, when he's 80, he should learn Talmud the last 40 years of his life till Me'ev Esrim. So the Gemara asks the obvious question, Miyata Kama Chai, does a person know how long he'll live to be able to split up his life in three parts? What it means is in days. Each day, he should split a third learning Gemara, Mishnah, and Mikra. Lefikach, therefore, the Gemara explains, Nikru Rishonim Sofrim. So therefore, they were called Sofrim. The Rishonim, the earlier generation, were called Sofrim. Why were they called Sofrim? Shahayu Sofrim Kolosios Shebet Torah. They would count every letter of the Torah. Shahayu Omrim Vav Degachon Chetzin Shel Osios Shesevet Torah. They would count the letters, and they figured out, apparently, that the Vav of Gachon is halfway mark, the midpoint of all the letters in the Sefer Torah, right? The Chazal tells us that there's 600,000 letters. There's really not. There's more than that. But they say that Keneged, the Klal Yisrael. But either way, you count the letters, it turns out that the Vav there is the middle. And Ezra just told us this morning that apparently Chav Tes, Kedushin, is the midpoint of Shas. So it works out well that this is the Daf that talks about the midpoint of the Sefer Torah. So that's the midpoint in terms of the letters. Then the Gemara says they also counted the words. That the pasuk that appears in the same parsha, actually, Darosh Darash, is Chetzin Shel Tevos. That's the midpoint of all the words that appear in the Torah. And then Viskalech, Shel Psukim, that pasuk is, I think, in next week's parsha, right? Is the midpoint of all the psukim. So we counted all the letters, all the words, and all the psukim. Then the Gemara says, Yichar Semena Chazir Miyar, pasuk that appears in Tilim. So the ayin of the Yar is Chetzin Shel Tilim. That's the center, that's the midpoint of all the letters that appear in Tehillim. And Vehu Racham Yichaper Avon is a Chetz of the psukim. That's the midpoint of all the psukim. I'm wondering out loud now. There's a whole discussion in terms of calculating the letters. Oh, there's an interesting Pnei Shua here. Should I have time before to look this up? Okay, I'm not remembering this. Okay. Either way, the Gemara says, so this is, again, the midpoint. Yeah.
No, what was the lefikach? I didn't see the flow.
It doesn't sound like it's lefikach. I think it's a separate idea.
Separate
okay, see, Rashi's milsa b'fe'a ba'ape nafshehi. It wasn't really meant to. It was probably taken from a different medrash and just plugged in here. But it wasn't meant to be a flow. Okay, the Gemara now says, by Rav Yosef asked the question, Vav degachon mehagiso. The Vav, is it part of the first half or is it part of the second half?
Which is one of the questions. How do you divide the week? The week is, Rashi says, the yumi is yumei ashvua. So the week is 7 days. How do you divide that up?
So I guess Shabbos is different.
Like
rest. Tosa argues on this, right? Hey, look at Tosa. Tosa says, Dibra maskalot tzricha liyomei. He quotes Perishak Bakuntris. Yemei Shabbos is Kolomar Shnei Yamim Mikra. Shnei Yamim Ishna. Shnei Yamim Gemara. It doesn't explain Shabbos. Shabbos is supposed to rest or maybe learn everything. Lo nihir adim kein nakati have a mati lemifrach miyada kamechai. You don't know if you're going to make it through the week even. Nearly the farish b'chol yom v'yom atzmo yishalish. Every day you're supposed to split it up. Akein tikin b'seder Rav Amram go and kemosh anu noagim b'chol yom kodem pesukei dezimmer. We say mikra. We say mishnah. We say gemara. That's what we have right after birchas haTorah to be mekayim this dim. But then famously Rabbeinu Tam writes perish anu somchen ahad amin b'sanhedrin bavel blula. It's mixed up b'mikra b'mishnah b'gemara. When you learn gemara Talmud Bavli, the gemara Bavli b'balu mechulin has everything mixed together. So already today we saw mishnah. We saw brises, we saw gemaras, we saw psukim. Every daf you're going to learn in Shas is going to have a combination of all them. So you're going to be mekayim this din of all three. Okay, the gemara now says, Bayer of Yosef, Vav de Gachon mehai gisa o mehai gisa. Is the Vav that appears in Gachon, which by the way, I think it's a large Vav, is it part of the first half or is it part of the second half? So Amalei, Nisi Sefer Torah v'nimnenu. What do you mean? Take out a Sefer Torah and begin counting. Milo Amar Rabba bar Barchana lo zazu misham ad sheviu Sefer Torah maran. We have a case that Rabbi Bar Barchana did the same thing. He didn't leave until he took out a Sefer Torah and figured out what whatever the answer was he needed to do, and he counted all the letters. So Amalei, the problem is, he says, Inu b'ki b'chaseros v'yaseros anu lo b'kim. They had a perfect Sefer Torah. They were not missing any letters, didn't have any extra letters, everything was exact. We have a lot of mistakes, and we can't rely on what the Sefer Torah that we have. Boy Rav Yosef is galech mehagiso mehagiso. Same question. Okay, when it comes to viskalech, one of the words, we don't have extra words. We don't have. We're not missing words. Letters, fine. But at least viskalech. So is viskalech part of the first half or part of the second half? So this Amar Lei Abai Psuke Miha Laisa Limno. So Psuke Namilo Bekin. So first he says go bring out the Sefer Torah and count them. So they say no. This too Psuke Namilo Bekin. We're also not experts in terms of the psukim. Dechi Aser Av Acha Barada Amar B'Marava. In the West, they would say. You should split the following pasuk up into three different psukim. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hinei Anochi Ba'alecha, Bav Hanan. So that pasuk, which in our Torah is all one pasuk, should be split into three different psukim. So we're also not bakim in psukim, therefore we're not able to count exactly how many words, how many letters there are in the Torah. Tanur Rabban, the Gemara quotes a brisa, Chameshes alafim v'shmonim meos v'shmonim u'shmona psukim havu. So there are 5,888 psukim. Psukim, havi psuke sefer Torah, yeser alav tilim shmona. And there are 8 psukim, chasim imenu divrei yamim shmona. What's that saying there? So again, there are 5,888 psukim in the Torah. And there's more in the sefer Torah, 8 more than Tilim. And Tilim, I guess Tilim has 8 less than Divrei Yamim, right? Or the Sefer Torah is 8 less than Divrei Yamim.
He says the book of Tilim has 8 more than that.
And Chas Meno Divrei Yamim Shemona?
8 less than
that. Divrei Yamim can't be that.
Suke Sefer Torah, comma, and then Yeser Alav Tilim Shemona? That's how you break it?
It can't be, because Tilim is so much less. No?
Well, they have a whole comment.
Okay.
Okay,
this seems to be a lot of problems.
Right.
Okay, but the way you literally read this is that there are 5,888 psukim in the Torah, and then the psukim of Tehillim have 8 more than Sefer Torah, and then there are 8 less, the Divrei Yamim has 8 less than the Sefer Torah. They explain this on the bottom here. Let's see.
He says again.
Well, it kind of goes back to the concept that we don't know really where to divide up the Pesukim.
Uh-huh.
You might have a whole half of a Tanamud in the Torah, and it might be considered one Pesuk. And we'll divide it up into 10.
Uh-huh, okay. So, unclear how to deal with this nowadays.
In the Chesh on the side, what's it, Masaris? Was it the Gra?
I think it's
the
Gra, looks like, yeah.
Yeah, it's
5,842. Okay, so we don't have exact numbers nowadays. Okay. I have a Gra, not that point, though. I have a different one.
Yeah, I have it now.
And you look at the
Parsekev
over there, it's
5,842. Uh-huh. So you have 5,888 in the Gemara, and then you have over there you have 5,845, and then you have later 8,842. So you see already it's
a bit of discrepancy.
Right.
The Gemara now quotes a Bryce in the bottom here, but I'm an Aleph here, a Tanur Rabbanan. Vishinantam shayu divrei Torah mechudim mepicha. The person said that the din is that shinantam means that they should be very sharp in a person's lips. Rashi says yihu mechudim mepicha. The last Rashi in the Amud here, chazar leim nebadik beomkim. He should review them. He should investigate in the depth. Says the Gemara. When a person asks you a question, you shouldn't stutter, you shouldn't mumble, you should be able to answer right away without any delay. And respond to him. Respond to him right away. Shinemar, the pasuk says, and more the chachma achosiat. Right, you should say the chachma like an achosi, like it's just like a person's a bucky, he knows who his sister is. It's so clear that the sister's aser to him. So too, the Torah should be clear as the iser of a achosa. V'omer, moreover, the quote's another pasuk, it says, kishim alat bo'echa, kisvam aluach libecha. You should have it tied, wrapped around your fingers, and written on your lave. It should be so clear that it's always in front of you. You always see it, alibcha. And that's what they said about Rabbi Meir, right? Rabbi Meir, the Gemara Megillah says, Rabbi Meir was able to write a Sefer Torah by heart. There was once one place. The Gemara says you can't write a Sefer Torah without looking inside another one. They were once in a situated place that they made with Megillah's Esther, and he didn't have any Megillah, nothing to work with, so he wrote one on based on his memory. They said he was different because he had a photographic memory, and I believe they quote this pasuk here. That's Kasim Aluach Libecha.
Yeah, they had one Amaisa with the past, not so long ago, so certain Rav went to a place to find a certain sefer, because that was very rare in Europe, and he saw that there was missing the one page for the sefer, so he wrote the whole. He wrote it by heart.
Van Endenbar says, "Omer." Moreover, another pasuk says, "Kichitzim biyad gibor kein bnei hanorim." That Talmud should be the strength, I guess, just like a young boy. Rashi explains here. If you look, kichitzim biyad gibor. Shenilcham behem im oivav. He's fighting. He's a warrior fighting with the enemies. Kain bnei hanurim tamidav shel adam akrim banav. His students are called sons. It brings rise for this. So the idea is that a person, I guess, should always be a gibor, always constantly fighting, figuring out the Torah. And much how you learn from there, that's supposed to be clear. But I guess just like when you're fighting, you're so clear and sharp, and you're shooting, and you're arrow shooting. So too, the ability to remember should also be very, very sharp. And moreover, the Gemara quotes another pasuk, "Va'omer chitzei gibor shenunim." I guess that's a continuation that the arrows of a warrior is sharp. "Va'omer chitzecha shenunim amim tachdecha yipalo." Another pasuk again that the arrows are very sharp. "Va'omer ashrei hagever asher milo es hashbaso mehem levoshu ki dabru es oivim bashar." So what's this pasuk telling us here? So Rashi explains, "Asher male es hashbaso mehem mishum didiminu lechitzim nakalashen miloi." Ashpa. It's talking about filling. Ashpa usually means garbage, no?
It's the arrow case I have written.
They place it, the arrows in the arrow case, and fill in the arrow case, and then they won't be embarrassed.
Right, they'll be ashamed when they. Right, it's a quiver. Yeah.
Okay, they should always be prepared, meaning having your arrows, having your arsenal always prepared, that you can always shoot and respond if ever asked a question. Gemara now wants to know, Mayas Oivim Bashar, what does it mean when it says the enemies are in the gate? So Amar, Rabbi Chir Babam, Afil Ha'av, Ubno, Harav, Tamido, Sha'oskim Batorah, Bishar Echad, Nasim Oivim Zedzeb. Even a father and son are learning. A Rebbe and a Talmud are learning, they become warriors, they become enemies with each other. They're fighting about Torah. Venim Zazim Misham Ad, Shinasim Oivim Zedzeb. But even though they're fighting, in the end of the day, after the debate's over, they don't leave until they make up and love each other. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "As vaha vahei besufa." In the end, there's going to be ahava. There's going to be love. Atuki besufa ella besofa. In the end, there should be love, and that's what happens after Talmid Chachamim. Even Rav and a Talmud, a father and a son, are fighting. They always have, again, going to have love after they finish their debate.
Aaron Glatt. So he wrote down from Herschel Shechter that. There has to be a certain amount of war in the world. So it could be Russia versus USA, you know, the war. Or it could be the Nochema Shel Torah.
There's always going to be some type of fighting, so hopefully the tension should really be in Torah and not in the world countries. Gemara says, now, Tanu Rabbanan, Visamtem, the positive Visamtem, Samtam. So what's the idea of Samtam? A complete medicine, Sam. Nimshla Torah Kisam Chaim. So it's compared. Torah is compared to a good medicine that helps a person. Mashladam shehikes beno makigdola. A father hits a son with a big hit. V'niach lo retia makasam, plays a bandaid on that wound. V'amelo b'ni calls mancher tiazu al makascha achol mashianascha v'shasa mashianascha. As long as the bandaid's there, eat what you want, drink what you want. V'rochat bein b'chamin bein b'tzoni. You could bathe in hot water, cold water. There's nothing to be scared of because your wound is closed. It's covered. If you remove the band-aid, it's as if nome, what does it mean, mala nome? Says Rashi. Yeah, what do you have written there?
Pas.
The pas is going to start coming out. It's going to affect it. So Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, Bini, my son, Klal Yisrael, barati yetzara. I created this yetzara, as we know, barati lo tara. Talvin, I created Torah, which is supposed to be the spice, is supposed to help the Yitzhara, overcome the Yitzhara. Bimatem oskim b'Torah, if you're going to be engaged in learning Torah, einatam nimsarim b'yado, you're not going to be given over to the hands of the Yitzhara. It's like the band-aid, it protects you. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, halo im tetev seis, vim einat seis, if you don't do good, so then, halo im tetev, if you do good, seis, and it will be protected, you'll be lifted, you'll be, Rashi says, titnasa al yitzarcha, you're going to be above, you'll be raised above your yitzar. Rashi says, the previous Rashi says, im tetev lekach tov, lekach tov is referring to Torah. If you engage in the Torah, lekach tov, then seis, you'll be raised, elevated above the yitzarcha, you won't be affected by the yitzarcha. Vim ematem im ein atem oskim b'Torah. If you're not engaged in Torah, atem nimsum b'yada, you won't be handed over to the Yetzer. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, the pesach chatas rovets. You're going to be crouching at the Yetzer. Will be crouching. The chait will be crouching over you at the entrance, waiting to pounce. V'lo, oh, not only that, el shekol maso u'masa b'cha. All his, the Yetzer's involvement will be with you. His attention will be focused on you. Shenemar, as the pasuk further says, it's all the same pasuk. Gets with Kain vehevel. That's the whole discussion after he kills him. After he kills his brother, it says, "V'elecha chukaso, to you the Yitzhar will want. It's going to go after you." V'mata wrote atemosha bo. And if you want, you could take control of the Yitzhar. It's in your hands. It's up to you. Shenemar, if you want, v'ata tim shalbo. So this whole pasuk about Kain vehevel is really a discussion to us, each one of us, about our own personal fight with the Yetzirah. By learning Torah, that's the way to take control. Simply go to the Beis Medrash and learn, and that's your way to defeat the Yetzirah. Tanya Rabban, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Kasha Yetzirah, the Yetzirah is so hard, so difficult, Shafil Yotzro Karo Ra. Even its creator, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, refers to Yetzirah as Ra. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, and Pasuk appears in also in Bereishis, Ki Yetzir Lev HaAdam, Ra, Menurav, his lave, his Yetzar, is also Ra from the moment it was created. So Amar Rav Yitzchak Yitzro Shel Adam, Mischadei Shel B'chol Yom. Also, each day, a person wakes up, it's a new day, but the Yetzar has new, fresh energy. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, and also embraces all in these Pesuk, this one, the Yetzar was created. The Mar tells us when the Nachash, when we ate from the Eitz Hadas, the Yetzar became, initially it was outside of us, the Yetzar, but once we, Adam, ate from the Yetzar, it became within us. So we have all the Halachas, all the Inyanim of Yetzar are here in Bereishis. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Rak Ra Kol Yom, every single day, it's like a new Ra, it renews itself. So Rashi just explains, the Drash is Kol Hayom, Kol Yaseru. It's an extra two words. L'lamdeinu shekol shals hayom ra'aso mischadeshes. Each, not only each day actually, each hour, it sounds like, each hour it renews itself. Person eats a lot of food, he satisfies his yetara, and then he gets hungry again, he eats more food. It comes every few hours, it renews itself. Amar Rish Lakish says further, rather, Amar Rish Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Yitzo shel Adam misgaber la b'chol yom u'mevakesh hemiso. Each day it gets stronger and stronger, and it tries to kill a person. Right, yesterday I went to the Tivari Shal Shudas, Rabino speaking, among many of the great lines he was saying, he was just describing how people think they'll enjoy life when they're younger, and as they get older, the Yetzer goes away. He says, no, as you get older, it gets more and more. A person wants more kavod, he wants more of this, he wants more of that. As a person gets older, kol adam misgaber la b'chol yom, each day, as a person gets older, the Yetzer gets stronger and stronger, maybe in different ways, but it gets stronger as you get older.
You get more stubborn.
Get more stubborn, you can't fight against it. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Tofer Rasha letzadik umevakish lamiso." So Tofer Rasha, the Rasha is referring to Yitzhara. The Rasha Tofer is looking out, looking, gazing for the tzaddik, and he's trying to kill him. Vilmale Kadosh Baruch Hu Ozo, had Kadosh Baruch Hu not help us, Ein Yachalo, it would be impossible for each one of us to withstand the Koach of the Yitzhara. Shenemar, as it says, Elokim lo yazvenu biyado. Kadosh Baruch Hu won't leave us alone in his hand. Meaning, we'll be, if he did leave us, we'd be in big trouble. But he doesn't leave us, and he helps us. So with the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and with the help of ourselves by learning Torah and keeping mitzvos, that helps protect us from this powerful Yetzirah. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel Bini, Imat Paga B'cham Menuvozeh, he says, my son, if this Yetzirah is really trying to corner you, Mashchayel base medrash, bring him to the base medrash. That's what I was referring to before. If a person can't learn, at least being the base medrash, that's at least going to protect him from doing anything else he shouldn't be doing. Im Evan who Nimach, if the Eitahar is coming in the form of an Evan, so then it's going to melt. It's going to split up. It's going to, I think Nimach is like pulverize or melt.
Dissolve.
Bim Barzel who, if it's a Barzel, comes a piece of metal, so then Mispotis is going to shatter. Shinemar, as the Pasuk says, Halo ko divrei keish, numashem, uchepotish, yufutas sela. So that's a raya that is referring, this is a reference to the Torah. The Torah is going to split it up. The Gemara Sanhedrin uses this for another drasha of Torah. But the Torah, which is compared to Eish, is going to split up if it comes in the form of a barzel. Im Evan Huni Moach, how do I know if it's going to, if it's a rock, it's going to dissolve? Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Have called Tamei Luchu Lamayim. Anyone who's thirsty should go get water. That's one of the psukim about that we learn, we read Teva Torah every few days. Vomer Avanim Eshachu Mayim. The water is going to cause the rock to dissolve. Okay, that's the end of the sugya of Limud HaTorah and Yetzirah. Gemara now gets involved in the other Indian that a father has to do for the son, namely marrying off his son. Very apropos for Ricky, who's not here today, but he's accomplishing mitzvah Hashem, this mitzvah today, marrying off his youngest. So La'asiu Isho, to have his son marry a wife, a woman, Menalan. How do you know that's an obligation incumbent upon the father to do? The Pasuk says, Kechu nashim v'olida banim, ubanos. So take women and have children. U'kechul of nechem, nashim, and take for your sons also, women, ves benos seichem, and your daughters, to nula nashim, and give your daughters to other men. So we see this is the minion to give, get a wife for your son. Bishma beno b'yado, I understand the son is in your hand to marry off. Ela bito b'yado, is his daughter in his hand? Meaning what? Why is his daughter not in his own hand? Let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, around halfway down the lines, Il elabita biyadahu b'tmiya. Klum yachal lahargila l'anashim l'asiya damar akra ves b'nosechem tenu l'anashim. Give your daughters to men. Does it sound like you're giving your daughter to many men?
In other words, no, how could he, you can't, the father can't, is not in charge of another man providing the other man to provide for his daughter. You know what I'm saying? It's not in his, but he can, his power to.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying?
Tell his son, go marry that woman.
But
go,
you can't, you can't.
Know, but you can't.
Can't reel her in.
Yeah, no power. Uh-huh. The son.
Lasso her and then.
You can't lasso the other guy.
Right.
Uh-huh. At least not in the days of the Gemara. These days, I guess.
Right. Okay. So Hachi Kamar. So the Gemara says, La Hachi Kamar Lahu. Nitein La Midi Ulav, should give her something and dress her, adorn her. V'nichse, in property, give her something that's valuable and attractive. Keicha de Kafsa La Inshi. In order that men will come wanting to marry her. Then the Gemara says, very important halacha that people don't really know. Lamdo umnos, they know, they don't really hold of it, to teach a child a son a trade, to have a parnasa. Right? Harry's telling us he was the only one who was actually working when he got married. So we teach a son how to make some money.
Don't repeat it again.
So minalan, how do you know this? Amr Chizki says, Damakra, Re'e Chaim im Isha, the pasuk, where does the pasuk appear? It's in Kohelas. Re'e Chaim im Isha, Asher Hafta, right? So see the life with a woman that you love. So what does it mean? So, im isha mamish, mamish with a wife, what do you mean mamish with a woman? Rashi says, re'ei chayim, umnos shetichaya bo im ha'isha, makish umnos le'isha. That the re'ei chayim is what gives a person, parnasa, to help him live. And it's a connection to a wife. We're connecting umnos to an isha. So what's the idea here? Kishem Shechai, the Gemara says, Lehasiu Isha, just like there's an obligation to have a son marry a woman, Kach chayv lulamdo, umros Yosef, to teach him a trade, to teach him chayim, otherwise he can't live. Im torahi, kishem shechayv lulamdo torah, kach chayv lulamdo, umnos. So what does that mean, im torahi? That's part of the pasuk as well.
I guess chayim, if chayim is referring to...
There's two ways of chayim. Chayim could either be referring to Torah, or be referring to giving a person his parnasa. So if you're comparing it to, well, chayim, no, it can't be.
No.
We're trying to choose chayim. I think we're saying, if Isha means Isha Mamish, or Isha means Torah. If Isha means Isha Mamish, so then chayim is compared to Isha. If Isha means Torah, so then still chayim is compared to Torah as well. So where does Rashi explain why Isha is compared to Torah? How is Isha compared to Torah?
So physically, we're also talking about the teaching of son. Kishen chayim lamdo Torah. Lamdo is the son.
And I'm wondering why, how could
so
you... Right, but that's talking about interpreting chayim, not interpreting the word Isha. Where'd we find...
Says the Yalkut Shimoni.
Yeah, anyone have one handy? Okay, either way, what comes...
On Mishle,
okay.
Isha means Torah.
No, but either how do you know Isha means Torah? That's what I'm wondering. How do you know that Isha means Torah? Like Gemara says, I'm curious to know what's the basis. We don't, that's not one of the classic things we have, that Torah is compared to water, compared to other things, but not to an Isha.
What we find, though, would be Isha's Chayil.
That's referring to Torah?
Yeah. Isha's Chayil is a Torah.
Okay.
The allegory is to Isha, but it really is referring to Torah. Uh-huh. Tell the women that. It's a really sense.
Okay. Fine. The Gemara now says, Yesh Omrim, the two dots, Yesh Omrim af lasito benar. You always have to teach the child how to swim. My time, Chiyusahu, this is also something he needs to know, how to swim. This is important. It's important to know this. Why is it important, though, to know this? Rashi doesn't really say why it's important to know this, but seemingly because they would travel a lot. They'd travel on boats, and if a boat sunk, you'd have to go down. There's no need to go swimming in a pool. It's not for exercise purposes. They'd actually go on boats a lot, and it could sink. And
his life might depend on
it. Right, it might, exactly.
Yeah, depending on his life.
I wonder if nowadays things might be different, though. Now we don't really rely. You don't have to swim as much anymore. People do swim as enjoyment, as exercise. But we're not traveling as much in situations where you'll be stuck somewhere. If a person's on a boat, rather on a plane, chasashom, and it crashes, so then swimming is not really going to help much. Okay. I'm not saying that's not true. I'm just wondering out loud. I'm not saying not to teach your son how to swim. Okay, the Gemara now says, Rabbi Yehuda omer kol sheinu melamdo umnos melamdo listus. So he says, anybody who does not teach his son a trade, it's as if he's teaching him, not as if, it's teaching him how to steal. Listus agadadach, he's not teaching him how to steal. What do you mean? It's as if he's teaching him how to steal. Because if he doesn't know how to make money on his own and he needs to live, he's going to resort to stealing. My b'nai, what's the nafkamina between the two of them, between which two here? What's Rehuda coming to add on to? We already said above that there's obligation to teach a son a trade, a parnasa. So what's Rehuda adding on? Yikbunayo da'agmari iski. If he already knows something, look at Rashi. Rashi says iska. Im lamdo schar, if you already learned some type of trade, the Tanakama Hari Lamdu Chaim, he taught him a source of life. The Rebbe Yehuda dasi l'taima ubnus dafka, the kama pamim shein lo b'ma lasu scharav omeid umlastim. So a trade versus business. Person's doing business, not every business is going to be successful. Therefore you have to need a trade. A trade is always necessary. A person's a carpenter, a plumber, an electrician, these are things that are always necessary. Business is not always successful. Not everyone always needs to buy and sell things. So therefore he says, he recommends apparently in addition to a business, although it's very nice, you always have to be able to teach a trade as well, according to Rabbi Yehuda.
You just give him money to do or merchandise to sell.
That's not
a trade.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Not have people to buy.
Exactly. Whatever. That's what Yehuda's adding. But according to the Tanakhama, no. Once he has some parnasa,
you have to get him a bachelor's.
A bachelor's, right?
Career. You have to give him a career.
Exactly. Hey, the Gemara says, "Kol mitzvah ha'av ala ben." All the obligations the father has on the son. What does that mean? My kol mitzvah ha'av ala ben. If it means all the obligations the father has to do to the son, so nashim chayavos, are women really chayv in that? V'hatanya, that ha'av chayv lebivno lemolo levtoso aviv in imolo. Only a father's obligated, but not a mother. So it must be, can't be talking about what the parent obligated to do to the son. Any obligation that's incumbent upon the child to do towards the father, that's the halacha that the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Echad Anoshim, Vechad Noshim. Whether it be a son or a daughter, Chayavim, they're both obligated to do all the mitzvahs listed in the Mishnah towards their parents equally. Tanin, the Gemara quotes a brayso, lahad tana rabbanam, ish ein li ela ish, I only know a man. What's the pasuk referring to here? It's referring to kibud avim. The pasuk says, kabed es avicha v'simecha, the man yeruchan. Is that the pasuk we're quoting here? No. So ish, a man, is obligated to fear his parents. Ish, the Gemara says, Ein li ela ish, I only know a man. Ish aminayin, how do I know that women, daughters, are also obligated to honor their parents? Kishu omer, when it says, tiro harein kan shayim, two. It starts off by, in the singular, in ish, one man, but then it says, tiru, referring to the plural. Both two people, who is it referring to? Both a son and a daughter. Im came atam lomer isha. Why does it only say ish in the beginning? It should say children, banim, let's say. Ish sipek b'yado la'asos. Isha ein sipek b'yado la'asos. B'peshe rushus achem ole. Because men always, no matter if they're single or married, always have it, the ability to serve their honor their parents. Women don't always have that ability because once they're married, they're in the rushus of their husband and don't always have that ability to serve their parents. Yeah?
She's part, even.
But if she gets divorced, and I'll add in also, much away I'll mention if she gets widowed, she thought halacha would also be that they would both be equally obligated to serve their parents. Tanur Rabbanim, Nemar Kabedes Avich Vesimecha, V'Nemar Kabedes Hashem Emunecha. The Pasuk tells us in one place that you have to honor your parents, and another Pasuk says also Lashon Kabed Es Hashem Emunecha, to honor Hashem. Hishva.
Emunecha, from your wealth.
From exactly, all your wealth. But the connection is the Kabed. There's the idea of honor. So we have a Hishva Kasuv Kibud Av Ve'im L'Chavad Makom. There's the same words being used, almost like a Gezer Shava, that we're equating honoring parents to honoring a the makom, honoring our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Nemar ish ima vaviv tiro. A man should fear his parents. But nemar es Hashem el kecha tira. You have to vosa tavot, and you're supposed to fear Hashem. So you're also hishva kasev maras avavim lemaras hamakom. They're equating fearing the parents to fearing the Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Nemar makal es aviv imo. Most yumas, a person who curses his parents gets death penalty. Venemar, and it says ish ki kalal eloka v'nosa cheto. If a person curses Hashem, he also gets the death penalty. Hishva kasev birchas avaim lebirchas hamakom. They're equating again, cursing the parents to cursing Hashem. Aval baka vada yefshar. When it comes to hitting, obviously it's impossible. There's no hitting Hashem. It's only for technical reasons why we didn't equate them, but the idea is that they are completely equated. V'chein b'din sheshloshtam shutzvin. V'chein b'din, Rashi explains, v'chein b'din sheyukshu l'chibud mor al pi al haben sh'arei af hein shutzvin l'makom bo. They all partners together. The Shlosha Shutvin, right? Rashi quotes the famous Gemara in Nida, which is of course connected to this week's Parsha, yesterday's Parsha. Shlosha Shutvin heim mefarish bebrayta b'maseches Nida ish mazriya lov aluban shabo. The man is responsible for the white, the teeth, the Gemara explains, and the nails and the bones. And isha mazras odam shabo, she's responsible for the blood and the flesh. And Hakadosh Baruch Hu nofech bo neshama, blows in the neshama into every human being. Mar ayin v'shmias ozen v'dibor, and all the different senses, the ability to see and hear and to speak, that's all Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So these are the three partners that are equated. Tanya Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes another brayso, shlosha shutzvin heim. There are three partners, ba'adam, in creating man, Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'aviv v'imo. Bizman she'adam mechabedes aviv v'imo, when a person honors his parents properly, Hakadosh Baruch Hu ma'ala ani aleim kilu hadarti b'neim v'chibiduni, as if I were living among you within this house and I'm being honored as well. Should we stop here? Let's stop here, I guess. Okay.
Shkoyach.